Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook VIP podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It is 2018 Career Month, one of my personal favorite categories, and we are answering your questions in studio. My father, John Butcher, is on the phone. How you doing, man?
Good. Great to be here, Jordan. Hello, everybody.
Career category is a crazy, wild category, especially in 2018, and especially where we live right now. It's so interesting because there are so many avenues where you can put in so many different amounts of time and effort into your career, you know, nowadays, from an Airbnb host up to Elon Musk. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. We have more choices than have ever been available to us before in human history. And we have more choices inside of those choices. You decided to, you know, be any occupation. You can customize that in just about any way you want to yourself. It's never been like that before in human history. People didn't used to be able to choose what they were going to do. I mean, for the vast majority of human history, your job was to wake up early in the morning and work your ass off until you go to bed just to have enough to eat, just to scratch food out of the ground or, you know, whatever it was that you were doing. People didn't have a wide range of options. And now we do, which is awesome, but it also puts a big responsibility on us, right? I mean, we have to be conscious. We have to think through these things. We have to decide ourselves. And, you know, the good decision is up to us. And if we don't make the good decision, our life goes one way. If we do make the good decision, our life goes the other way. So it's a very interesting time we live in.
Mm-hmm. And there's two sides of the coin because on one hand, we're so blessed that we can be so choosy over what we do. We can say things like, this job doesn't line up with my morals. Or, you know, I don't like the work that I'm doing with this job. I think I'll try a new one. That's such great abundance. But the other side of that coin is a lot of people I've found can be seriously overwhelmed by the amount of options. Before it was so clear cut. It's like, well, I've been helping my dad with his electrician business, or before that, his blacksmithing venture. And this is what I'm going to do. And I'm, you know, relatively stable. And it's all laid out for me. Now so many paths can paralyze you.
Well, that's right, Jordan. And you know, that whole issue of two sides of the coin, you know, we live in a binary universe. There are two sides to every coin. And I've been thinking about this more and more over the last few months and actually years. Take a look at technology. Talked about this so much. We have all the world's information, all human knowledge in our pockets at the speed of light. That's a miraculous thing. On the one hand, if we use that tool correctly, we can create an extraordinary life for ourselves. On the other hand, if we don't use it correctly, we can ruin our life with the exact same tool. There are so many studies coming out now about how these screens cause addiction and you know, they mess up your brain and they're causing anxiety and depression, et cetera. So there are two sides to that coin. There are two sides to, like, virtual reality is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you think we've got problems with addiction and distraction now, wait till you can put on this headset and be king of the universe and fly and have sex with anyone you want and have a perfect body and be the lord of all you survey. Why would you ever want to take those goggles off? Mm-hmm. Again, if you use that tool correctly, you can be bicycling through Bordeaux, France on your exercise machine and get in incredible shape. You use that tool incorrectly, it will destroy your life. Mm-hmm. So what is the inoculation? What's the leverage point that we all need to focus on in order to be able to make those decisions correctly? Here's what it is. It's taking responsibility for yourself. Mm-hmm. It is having a clear vision for the person that you want to become and for the life you want to live. Because if you don't, then you will have no decision-making framework. You won't know how to use these tools. You won't know which way to turn because you don't know where you're going. However, if you are clear on your values, if you're clear on the person that you want to become and dedicated to becoming that person, if you're clear on the life that you want to live and you're committed to achieving that life, now you have a decision-making framework. Now you can say no to the unhealthy, addictive qualities of these tools and yes to the things that will move you forward in life. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing with your career. Mm-hmm. We live in a day and in an age where we're faced with unlimited opportunities. And like you said, that can either be the best thing in the world if you're able to make those decisions well, or you can absolutely freeze in the face of all those options and be completely overwhelmed. The key is knowing who you want to become and knowing the kind of life you want to put together. That's the key. Then you'll be able to make those decisions well, or at least you'll have a better chance of making correct decisions. There are no guarantees on anything. There are no guarantees that we're going to choose right action every time. But how much better are our chances if we're clear on the person we want to become and the life we want to live? That's why we're working so hard to help people figure that out in their lives, because if they figure that out, that'll have ripple effects on every decision that they make, every action that they take.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff, man. Let's jump into the listener questions here. We've got a great list. First question comes from Brian B. I often have great ideas for new businesses, but they seem to get stuck in idea purgatory. What steps or actions do you take to go from an idea to making it happen?
Well, Brian, that's a great question. And of course, we all know that ideas aren't worth anything without the ability to execute those ideas. You know, an idea is nothing but vapor. An idea is nothing but an electrical impulse in your gray matter. It's the ability to bring those ideas into reality that is what's valuable. That is, if they're a good idea. Now, a lot of times I've discovered that if I have an idea that I think is great, but I'm having trouble getting myself to act on it, I have learned to question whether or not that's a great idea in the first place. Because the thing about a really great goal that's aligned with your values and it's a really solid quality idea, usually a great goal like that will move you to action. Like, usually you won't have to try to get yourself to move, because if the idea is good enough, you're not going to be able to help yourself. You're going to have to move in the direction. That's one of the things we talk about in the Lifebook Mastery course, is your ideas need to be meaningful, meaning they need to be big enough that they'll make a difference in your life. They need to be smart, when we talked about what a smart goal is, and they also need to move you. And by move you, I'm not just talking about emotional. I mean, that's the basis of it. But what I'm saying is they've got to be able to move you into action, move you to take action in the direction of the accomplishment of that vision. So if you're not jumping out of bed in the morning enthusiastic about attacking that idea, you might want to reconsider whether or not it's a great idea, because if it was, it may have probably already moved you into action. Mm-hmm. Now, I used to be so enthusiastic to encourage everyone that came to me with a good idea to start their own business. I'm a lot slower on the draw these days. What I've developed is a respect for the downside. That's the new thing here, Jordan. I didn't used to have enough respect for the downside, and that's what's gotten my ass kicked. I went through enough pain in my life with the mistakes that I've made by not respecting the downside enough that I eventually learned the lesson. Mm. And the bottom line is this: business is hard. If you miss one thing, it's like a chain. If one link is broken, the chain is broken. You get everything right, but your marketing, it's going to fail. You get everything right, but your product development, it's going to fail. Get everything right, but your manufacturing or your customer service or any other aspect of your business, the whole thing is going to go down the tubes. 75% of businesses fail in America in the first year, and the number is up to 90% after 5 years. Now, so I'm not discouraging anybody. I love entrepreneurship. I'm a hopeless, devoted entrepreneur. I love when people go after their dreams. I love when people start new businesses. All I'm saying is you've got to do it with your eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. It's not the easy path. And if you go into it not knowing that, then you're gonna have a hard time. So with Brian, the bottom line is, I would say those ideas that you've got that you think are good ideas, if they're not moving you to action, they may not be quite as good as you think they are. Mm-hmm. If they're not exciting you to the point where you have to take action on them, you might want to reconsider. And then even when they do excite you to the point where you want to take action on them, you want to be measured. You want to be prudent. You want to go into this with your eyes wide open, knowing that if you're going to start a business, it's not going to be easy. I don't know anyone who started a business and made it successful and can look back on it and say, that was pretty easy. Literally, I don't know anyone that can say that.
Yeah.
So my challenge to you is to just make absolutely sure that you are going into it in as realistic a way as possible. And what that will do is it will make you careful to really make every decision in the highest possible quality way.
That's true.
So that's what I say to Brian. And I'm sorry if that answer wasn't a enthusiastic, rousing to go out there and start a company as soon as you can. But I just don't do that anymore because I've learned my lesson there. You got to go in very respectful and very reverent and ready to really, really take on a hard project and work hard to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, also the quality of an idea doesn't necessarily equate to feasibility. Maybe it's not the right idea for him. So I've had some really great ideas in the past that later ended up becoming products and companies that were successful, just small ideas that I conceived for a company that was just a really blatant market gap. I've shared some of that stuff with you in the past, but it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. So yeah, it's a great idea. I know it would work, but I would have to learn a whole new set of skills, or it would involve me, changing my life course to a point that I'm not comfortable with. So you have to be okay with just letting those great ideas go. Or what I tend to do is think, who can I pass this idea on to? Is there someone I know who could run with this? Just give it away for free. See if you can get some good karma.
100%, man. It comes back to what I said at the very beginning. Great ideas aren't worth anything on their own. It's the ability to execute those ideas that's worth everything. So a great idea may be worth nothing to me, zero, because I don't know how to execute it. However, if I give that idea to you, Jordan, and you know how to execute it, it's worth a lot to you. So you're exactly right. There's more than one way to get a good idea done. And sometimes you don't have to do it all yourself. A lot of times you can go out there and try to find a partner to fill your gaps and help you execute.
That's true.
And that's a good idea.
That's also true. Next question from Amy R. How much time do you spend with your family on a daily basis? How are you able to balance career and family? And we were just having a conversation off air. You were talking about how the career category is one of the rare categories that can easily swallow up a lot of your life. And now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of your life often pertains to family, friends, and your spouse, right?
That's exactly right.
That's what, no one's on their deathbed saying, I wish I had spent more time at the office crunching numbers,
That's so true, man. Your career is one of those categories that can eat your life alive if you're not conscious. And this is weird to say, but it's absolutely true. The more passionate you are about your career, the more on purpose you are, the more in danger you are of being able to justify spending all your time working. Mm-hmm. And so you've really got to be conscious and you've really got to be careful. In my case, Jordan, I'm so lucky. I work with my wife is my partner. We are together almost every minute of every day. My kids all work for our companies. You do all our podcasts. Jessie is our wisdom curator. She does all of our writing and our content. Jade is our little artist who helps us with Black Star. I work with all my kids. And so that just makes it really wonderful and easy. And I'm very, very grateful for that. Mm-hmm. I try to spend as much personal time as I can with my kids too, but at least we work together and we work together on really, really high quality, exciting stuff. So I've got it easier and better than I think most people, and I'm very thankful for that. But for other people, this is just one of those categories that you've got to watch it. You've got to constantly be vigilant. There will be times in your life when your career is the most important thing. And when those times happen, sacrifices need to be made. Jordan, you know this. Everyone in our family understands that. When it's time to roll up our sleeves and kick some ass. Sometimes we fall a little bit behind on our parenting or our health and fitness or whatever, but because we've got the 12 category model, we never get too far behind. We're always conscious of those categories.
Mm-hmm.
I've found that the rhythm for our family is that we'll push really, really hard on a project and get it done. And during that time, we might, make some sacrifices in other areas of our lives. But then as soon as that project is done, we get on a plane, we take off to some, you know, in the wintertime, we'll go to some country together, just us and our kids, and we'll spend, we'll make up for that. Literally, we'll spend a ton of quality family time now that that project is done and going, and we'll be able to really kind of rebalance. Mm-hmm. That's what we tend to do.
That's interesting, because if you're not going to do the daily or weekly ritual, weekend ritual, something like that, then it seems to be beneficial to do large blocks. So I guess what I'm saying is, for me and my daughter, my wife goes to her adult French class every Saturday, and I get to spend 3 straight hours with my daughter just playing at the park. That's our weekly thing, and it's nice to have that schedule. But what you're saying is, you push on a project for 4, 6, 8 weeks, and then you get on a plane and go to the beach and basically hang out with your kids and play for a, you know, 14 right. or 21 straight
it's,
days.
It's the exact same thing. It's just a different rhythm.
It's most blocked people, off.
Yeah, most people work the week and then they take the weekends off. Like, here's a perfect example. This last summer, we spent a month in Tallinn, Estonia at Mind Valley University, and that was a work month. And our kids had a blast, but Miss and I were very, very busy, and we really had to focus and work that month. We were on the main stage 3 times. We launched 4 new programs. We did a big teen art thing. It was a super busy work month. And then as soon as that was done, we took off and had our family time. We visited Lithuania and Latvia. We spent a week with Lifebook members in Transylvania. Then just me and Miss and Justin went to Basque country on the border of France and Spain and had a profound vision quest in the mountains and really had the, you know, high quality family time. So our rhythm tends to be longer, bigger chunks than the week weekend rhythm, mm-hmm. but it's still the same at the end of the day. You got to roll up your sleeves and get your shit done when you're focused on your career, right? But then hopefully you can rebalance it if it's gone a little bit overboard. That's the important thing, bringing consciousness to it, because, you know, you can get lost in this category.
It's
and look around you. People do. And then you can wake up and say, damn, what happened in the last 2 years? And that's what you don't want to happen.
That's right. So I like integrating family and career if that's a feasible thing. That's really great. Or just projects and family, that sort of thing. And then I think it's just really about, like you said, consciousness, just figuring out what feels right to you. I think you'll know, you know, you and your kid.
Yep, 100%.
So moving on here. Next question from Barbara D. I know that networking, meeting people, and engaging them is the only way to grow my business, but I'm self-conscious and not very outgoing. Help. I'm not sure she's talking to the right people. I mean, you've really exploded. You've really exploded in this category.
Yeah.
So maybe you can speak on this a little more.
Okay, Barbara,
than me.
Here's the first thing I would say. Networking is not the only way to grow your business. There
That's
are
true.
Other ways, but networking is an incredibly good way. I will absolutely admit that. Mm-hmm. Missy and I never engaged in that until just recently. And it's been a game changer for us. So there is a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow if you can get yourself to do it. Here's what this question reminds me of. It reminds me of a quote that Missy's mantra for the last year. And it's so profound, you guys. The quote is, the obstacle is the way. Mm-hmm. The obstacle is the way. She's basically saying, I'm self-conscious. I'm not outgoing. I'm not comfortable in this situation. That's my obstacle. Well, that's where you need to go. Because if you're willing to, first of all, take a look and identify your fear, and then if you're willing to drag it out into the light, that's where the treasure is every single time. Mm-hmm. Go where the fear is. That's where the rewards will be. And if you're courageous enough to do that, you deserve those rewards. Missy and I have done things in the last couple of years that we've never done in our lives before, that we never thought we would do, that we were uncomfortable with. Missy and I aren't main stage presenters. We never set out to be personal development teachers. None of this was in our life plan. We knew we had to share Lifebook with the world because it would have a profound effect on people, a profound transformative effect. We knew we had to do that. This was a gift that we'd been given that we couldn't keep, you know, we couldn't hide. We had to share this. With that came some stuff that we weren't comfortable with. we're private people. We didn't want to open up our lives. We didn't want to talk about ourselves. That's not something that we're comfortable with or that we like. But we had to do it in order to share this. Well, it's the same thing with, you know, main stage appearances and all the sort of social public facing stuff that we're doing now. We never really wanted to do it. We were never comfortable doing it, but it's been a game changer for us. It has caused so much growth and so much learning. That was an obstacle for us at one time, but we were courageous enough to go there, drag it out into the light, master it over time. And now we're really happy that we are able to do these things that we didn't used to be able to do or didn't want to do. So again, the obstacle is the way. If you're courageous enough to identify and face those fears that are holding you back from getting the life that you want, you deserve the rewards that are there. And trust me, that is where the rewards are.
It's awesome. Good luck, Barbara. Next question from Ellen S. I like my job, but I don't love it. I make a good living. I can afford to take nice vacations. I have a decent home and decent things. And I have so much time invested in this line of work. Do you agree that it's okay, maybe even encouraged, to work for money and vacations as long as I'm not miserable and as long as I get reasonable satisfaction out of what I do day to day? Or do you encourage people to find what they're passionate about, even if they're in their 50s and successful enough to pay the bills and take vacations? I don't want to sell myself short.
Well, that is a phenomenal question, and there are two schools of thought on it. And it really comes down to who you are and what you want out of life. The first school of thought we've all heard, and this is the most popular one, this gets pounded on over and over and over and over. Find your passion, find the thing that fascinates you, and turn that into your career. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, that is the ideal situation. Ideally, you would have a career that you absolutely love so much that you jump out of bed in the morning, can't wait to get to it, and you just, you're in your bliss all day. That would be amazing for all of us. But there's another school of thought, and this was introduced to me by this, you know, one of the smartest Lifebook members we have. His name is Brian Kay. He's got the highest life quotient in the entire Lifebook community. Super successful guy across the 12 categories. One of my best friends and my accountability partner for 4 years, and one of the smartest business people I know. And his philosophy is, don't follow your passion. Keep your passion a hobby, because if you turn your passion into a career, all of a sudden it's work. Now you've turned your biggest fascination, your area of enjoyment, into work. And why would you do that? Rather, find a career that you're really good at, that you enjoy. You know, you don't want to hate it, for sure, but it doesn't have to be your absolute area of passion. Find a career that you're good at that you can make really good money doing, and let that fund your passion as a hobby. And now you don't have to turn your passion into work. You don't have to share it with anybody else, because, you know, one thing that's absolutely true: the minute you decide that you want to sell something, other people's opinions are now important.
Oh, it's so
true. You are no longer completely in control of that thing. You have to consider other people's points of view. Versus when it's your hobby, it's all you. You can do anything you want with it or nothing. You are 100% in control.
Other people's opinions can sometimes ruin the fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've really just got to ask yourself, which path feels right to me? Because everybody's different. There's a book called The E-Myth, which we recommend over and over and over. And in this book, there's a wonderful little metaphor story about a lady who's amazing at making pies. She makes the best pies in the world. And her pies are so good that all of her friends say, you should start a pie shop. You should start a pie business. No one makes pies better than you. You'd kill it. Finally, one day, she decides to turn her passion, that is her hobby, into her career. And she decides to start a pie shop. Well, fast forward 6 months, she's trying to figure out her operating hours. She's trying to pay her landlord's rent. She's trying to schedule her employees. She's got a million jobs on her list because she's opened a business. She's now an entrepreneur. And like I said, she's got a million jobs on her list, and not one of them has to do with making pies.
Yeah.
She's been sucked into a world where she's taken her most fascinating passion, her greatest interest, and she's turned it into work, and she's surrounded it with all of this big ball of of responsibility, and it's no longer fun for her.
Yeah, it's like, you're great at making pies. Why don't you try QuickBooks?
Exactly. So, you know, I would say this is one of the critical decisions that we need to make. And we need to be very, very careful with how we make it. There is no right or wrong answer generally, but there is a right or wrong answer for you. So you've just really got to think through, do I want to turn my most precious passion into my career, or do I want to keep that as my sacred hobby and go out there and find work that makes me good money to fund the rest of my life? Both totally valid philosophical positions, and each one of us as individuals need to make that decision for ourselves.
Love it. Now, Ellen, I just want to weigh in really quick, because it seems like you don't mention anything about getting nicer things. At the end, you say, I don't want to sell myself short. So maybe you should look at other avenues. If maybe you want to explore volunteer work, or, you know, giving back, or investing in yourself, you know, building skills, maybe look elsewhere other than a career. If you're trying not to sell yourself short, maybe start working on yourself a little bit. Just meditate on it a little bit, and do some thinking. Good luck to you.
Yep, for sure.
Next question from Dell. Any ideas for how to live an even richer life after retirement? I had a very rewarding career early on, and now I'm unemployed, mortgage-free, and living off of my investments. My life is not perfect, and there's certainly a lot of room for growth, but for the most part, I just feel like I've made it, and it's time to sit back and enjoy. I simply want more of the same. Do you ever feel this way?
That's friggin' awesome. Well, no, I don't ever feel that way, because I'm literally not to that point in my life yet. However, because I've got you know, multiple companies that require more attention from me than I wish that I had to give them.
Right.
Some days, right? I am working through simplicity, I'm working through complexity to simplicity, and within a year, I intend to be somewhere close to where Dell is talking about here. Our goal, you know, we're moving from Chicago to Hawaii after 30 years here, and our mantra for the last 18 months has been about automating our companies, delegating, eliminating everything that's not in our core competence and area of passion, the way we want to spend the hours of our days. And when we get to our new home, we're going to step into a new life. And what that means is the way that we spend the hours of our days will be vastly different. We see a more philosophical, more contemplative phase of life, more art than business, more inner work, and we expect to do the very best work of our life from that place. So I'm on my way to where you are, hopefully, Dell, and I just want to say that, man, if you have made that happen for yourself, congratulations. It's awesome.
Totally.
You are in an incredible position right now where you can do anything you want or nothing. The last thing you need to do is feel guilty about the leisure time you have and about taking it easy after you've worked your ass off all your life.
Good point.
Now you can explore your fascinations. You can travel the world. You can write a book. You can volunteer. You're in a wonderful, wonderful time of your life right now, and congratulations. That's what
awesome.
I have to say.
And Dell, consider a mentorship.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Go help a young person with the knowledge that you've gained over your life. Love that idea.
Next question from Nick K. What was the most important career decision you've made, and how has it impacted your life?
Well, that's a great question. And as I thought about that question a little bit, the answer was actually surprising, Jordan. I'd say out of all the companies Missy and I have started, all the successes and failures we've had, the single most important career decision we ever made was to start Lifebook. And here's the reason: because you master what you teach. That's the reason. And you guys, I'm sure that you've heard that quote before. If you haven't, I want to highlight it. You master what you teach. And we've gained so much personally and professionally since we launched Lifebook.
In all 12 categories. So if your health and fitness company would have taken off, maybe you'd be in better shape today than if not. But across all 12 categories, your life, you're constantly expanding.
Exactly, Jordan. Like, for instance, the our VIP members page. Well, that content that we release every month, the deep dive every month, Missy and I are in our 8th year. eighth year of diving deep into one category a month.
Wow.
We've learned so much. We've learned to master these areas of our life. And here's the reason that you master what you teach. This is a little story. Before we shared Lifebook with the world, when we only had our personal Lifebook, it was missing a premise here. It was missing a purpose there. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit, you know, it was a little bit rough around the edges. It was just our tool that we used to navigate through life. And because we didn't have to show it to anybody. We weren't teaching it. We weren't sharing it. We could afford for it to be a little loose in certain areas. Well, when we decided that we were going to share it with the world and turn it into a program, now you better have it dialed in. If you're going to go out there and, you know, and share it as a product or take people through a program where they fly and see you and pay you money to go through this experience, you better have it together. So we had to dive in there, and we had to complete our Lifebook totally. We had to think down that philosophy all the way. We had to put it on video. We had to wrap it in associated materials, and we had to make sure that this program was absolutely ironclad, that it was bulletproof, and that it worked every time for every person. That's a different level than where it was before we shared it. So in bringing Lifebook out to the world, it had a profound personal effect on Missy and I over a 10, 11-year period. And as I look back on my entire career, my entire 30-year career, that seems to be the best career decision we ever made that had the biggest positive impact in every area of our life. Isn't that interesting, Jordan?
It is. Did you feel it when you made that decision?
Well, Missy and I have always been cognizant of the fact that once we make a commitment to go in a certain direction, our lives are going to change instantly from that point forward. Because once we commit to something, we know that we're going to be waking up every single day and spending our time thinking about that and moving in that direction. When Missy and I set a goal, that instantly changes the way our life is unfolding. So in that sense, we knew when we made the decision, and I know exactly when it was. It was in a little cafe in San Juan, Puerto Rico. We went to Puerto Rico to talk about this decision for a week because we were conflicted. Like I said, we didn't want to share our lives. We didn't want to be public figures. We didn't want any of that.
You didn't want your career to take over too much of your private life.
Exactly.
Precisely what we're talking about.
We didn't know how this would affect our lives at the time. What we did know, though, is that we would never find anything that would be a higher value to share with other people. I mean, and could we go to our graves knowing that we'd been given this gift and we didn't share it?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, we had to do it. We were cognizant of the fact that it was going to have a big effect on us, but we couldn't have known then, you know, how much of a positive effect this would end up having.
And the personal rewards that you feel, you must feel so rewarded from that as opposed to having more leisure time or whatever it is. It's probably incomparable.
Well, that's exactly right. That's another layer of it. You know, it gave us a tremendous amount of growth personally. And then it gave us a tremendous amount of, it was just so rewarding and so fulfilling to see the transformation happening in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And now almost 12 years in, when it's getting so much momentum worldwide, it, you know, it's just incredibly fulfilling to know that we made a decision that has a chance to have a significant impact on the world. That is really something that we're very both grateful for.
Yeah. There's never been a better time, man. And Lifebookers are just such a great group of people. I'm so glad that there's enough people out there like them to really push this thing along. And it's interesting. That's a perfect segue into the final question coming from Patty K. She asks, will you provide info on how I could become a Lifebook trainer? I really would love to share this with others and be a part of your community. So that was an interesting one. I thought maybe you could direct our listeners.
Well, the best career you could ever have is a career with Lifebook, I think.
I think so.
It's literally one of the most rewarding, you know, just fulfilling, fascinating things you could do to be at the epicenter of transformation in people's lives. There's nothing better. But guys, here's the deal. We're just now really taking a hard look at that program. It's called the Lifebook Leaders Program. We've beta tested it a few years in a row. It's not the easiest model to figure out. We're working with Mind Valley right now on a few different models of being able to roll this thing out. And we're going to figure it out, and we're going to figure it out next year. Our goal is to is for, you know, our very best members who are most committed, who love Lifebook the most and who want to bring Lifebook to their local community, to have a structure in place where they can do that and they can run their own Lifebook classes in their own local community. So when we figure that out, we're going to roll it out. It's called the Lifebook Leaders Program. In the meantime, if that sounds like something that you'd be interested in learning about and exploring more once we pull the model together, you can just email Sandra@mylifebook.com and just get your name on the list to receive the information when we've got it ready. Sandra@mylifebook.com and just put Lifebook Leaders Program in the subject line, and she'll make sure to let you know where we are and get you on the list for when we're ready to roll this out.
Awesome. Sandra@mylifebook.com.
That's right.
Thank you, listeners. As always, fantastic questions, right, man?
Yeah, they were great. Always good to spend this time with you, VIPs. We love you.
You know what to do. Let's see here. Follow the Facebook VIP page. Love hearing from you guys on there. Check me out on Instagram @JordanRiverIG. And hope to hear from you guys every month as usual. Jordan River and John Butcher signing off, saying, see you next time on the Lifebook VIP podcast.
Have a fantastic month, everybody.